the truth. Welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org. Hour two of the broadcast here on this Monday, 8th of April, 2024. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. Here with Paul Edward Stevenson, Monday co-host and host of Last Man Standing. That's 1 p.m. Central on Sundays. Now, folks, do check his broadcasts out as well. So, Paul, if Biden loses the election, what will be the top reasons? Well, the disastrous energy policy is one of them. EVs as well. You know, these global warming, climate change scam, green agenda, pseudoscience, related
prime
aspects. Prime, yeah, sure. I mean, when you look at these blue cities.
I think even some of those people are, disconcerted by what's happening at the border. I mean, across the board, everything you look at, that what matters to people, the three main ones are the economy, your borders, and law and order. I mean, that's all people really want, really, at the end of the day. They want to be able to live a reasonable life, be reasonably comfortable, and they want to be secure. And so you want to have a border, and you want to have law and order so you can go out and walk the streets and your family and when, you know, and your friends and people you care about, when they're out and about, you're not worried about them getting stabbed or shot or whatever, you know?
Indeed.
So.
And as far as just like what we have at the end of this one piece, what will and won't decide the election, their final bullet points here. For younger voters and blacks, the economy, specifically housing, will be the deciding issue. Biden may still carry this group, but by far less percentages than in 2020. You want to comment on that?
Yeah, well, you know, it makes sense. And, you know, he's obviously crashing his support for his typical Arab Muslim voter types up there in Michigan and places like Minnesota and places like that because of Israel, and of course the usual snowflake, you know, pink-haired, green-haired liberals who, you know, don't really worry too much about open borders, and they certainly don't worry too much about the economy because they're very privileged people, but they do care about Israel and Palestine.
Indeed. Oh, and for older voters, as far as they saw how they separate them, especially independents who own their own house, the key factors are likely to be immigration, Biden's wokeness, and Biden's age.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I don't know. I mean, I know from over here, there has been a marked change in the support for this whole Ukraine thing. But I don't know what it's like over there. But, you know, people in the UK don't care about the Ukraine, really, Richard, you know? I mean, if again, if you're in one of these middle-class, virtue-signaling upper, well, the middle class is different from what you guys think of the middle class in the United States. You know, the middle class or the dwindling middle class in the United States are much more likely to be your salt of the earth sort of Christian types and, you know, Trump supporters and that type of thing, notwithstanding, you know, the usual sort of leftist green agenda, anti-white people on the East Coast and the West Coast. Of course, there's plenty of blue collar types in the East Coast as well. But over here, the middle classes, there are people who consider themselves to be, in quotes, educated. It means they went through the system, the indoctrination processes, and they've benefited from that system. And they consider themselves to be, you know, very erudite and informed because they read The Guardian. Or if they're not so much left, if they, you know, if they're more right wing, they'll read The Telegraph, which pumps out incessant propaganda along with The Times over here about Ukraine and Russia. And I don't know what it's like over there, but over here, this is the most Russia-phobic country you could ever imagine. So, you know, I think it could be a factor over here if we have a general election. People are a bit sick and tired of it now. You're not seeing so many Ukrainian flags being waved now, as some of the information filters through from other sources that, you know, the amount of embezzlement that goes on in Ukraine, you know, how many properties does Zelensky and his little cronies have, you know, and people are a little bit more aware of just how corrupt that country is. So, but largely, people in the West, you know, or in the UK, if it wasn't for all the Russophobia and the constant anti-Russian, absurd pro-Ukrainian propaganda, and this unchallenged assertion and assumption that we must stand by Ukraine, I don't think people in the West care about Ukraine. I mean, you guys are, you've got the Atlantic Ocean between you, but I can assure you most people in the UK, if I walk up and down that street, and I'm talking about the native people in Ireland or in the UK, they couldn't tell you where the Baltic countries are. If you said to them, where's Slovenia? They wouldn't know. If you said, you know, where is Lithuania? Do you know exactly where Lithuania and Latvia is? They probably couldn't tell you. It's too far away, you know, even for here. Maybe in the US, you guys think that over here, that Ukraine's sort of like, you know, we can get a bus to Ukraine or something. Yeah. You know, it's a long way away that we don't care about it. That doesn't mean we wish the people of Ukraine any suffering in the same way as we don't wish anybody around the world who are suffering. But the Ukrainians have become very kind of cocky over the last 2 or 3 years because they've drank the Kool-Aid that somehow they're very precious and that they are so important. And, you know, yeah, have a look at what's happening in your country by the fact that you're getting, in quotes, supported by the West. You're getting your country wrecked, you know? So, I don't know whether it would be a factor over there, but I think it should be a factor in the United States as well, because it is very dangerous what's happening with Russia. And this is another reason why I wish Vladimir Putin would get on with this and get it finished, because the longer it goes on, the longer you have the possibility of something like an attack on the Zaporizhia power plant or a stray missile going in somewhere or whatever, you know, just a huge escalation of this, which no one wants. And the longer this drags on with Russia's methodical way of doing things, the more they risk that. So I wish they'd get on with it and find out how the West is going to respond once it's quite clear and beyond all reasonable propaganda. Well, I think we've passed the all reasonable point of propaganda anyway, but once it's apparent, abundantly clear that they've lost that war, which may have to come to the fact that, you know, Zelensky has fled the country or something. I don't know. But then we'll get a response, and we'll see, because it just seems to be dragging on and dragging on and dragging on. And I sometimes, you know, I know that Russia is, you know, winning that war and they're in control of it. But I sometimes think the likes of McGregor and Larry Johnson and some of these guys actually over-exaggerate just how well they're doing. I mean, I know they are winning it and they're in control of the situation, but they're not having it all their own way either. And to me, that's kind of incredible, because, I mean, you look at the lack of shells that the, you know, this is coming from Western sources, mainstream media sources, that they lack the shells, they lack manpower, they lack air defenses. And yet, the Russians still haven't finished them off yet. I know it's a big country, and I know there's all reasons for it, but still, it's frustrating. I wish they'd get on with it, because I'm sick of it, you know? And it's dangerous.
Yes. And, I mean, I would like to see leaders held accountable. I mean, for Zelensky to not get away with this, that would send a strong message. I know it'll never happen, but I'd like to see, you know, the good guys, look how they get treated, like Gaddafi. But then, you know, there's no way that Zelensky would have that as his end. You know, he needs to have his head on a pig pole. You know, that would
sound yeah, he does.
Indeed.
He does. He's a complete reprobate. He's a complete scumbag. And, you know, it's incredible that he's been paraded around, you know, over the years. As I say, his popularity is in the toilet anyway in Ukraine. Sorry, the Ukraine. It's the Ukraine. People stop calling it the Ukraine, but it is the Ukraine because it means borderland. So, you know, he'll escape as soon as the heat gets too much, or if there's any intelligence that the Russians are getting too close to Kiev or whatever. He'll get out of there, and he'll go to one of many properties that he's bought with money that was sent there, that the British taxpayer and the U.S. taxpayer will be paying for, and probably his family.
His parents were given a luxury. His parents were given a luxury mansion on behalf of the U.S. taxpayers.
He has no one asked where did he get this money
that they probably have tucked away.
Where did you get the money?
He's making decisions. I know he's a puppet, a figurehead. To take those roles, they need to be, you know, have repercussions, so no one will want those roles anymore, and it makes it tougher for the people above them who are giving the marching orders. That's all. Just to clarify, you know, someone out there, of course, is going to critique my statement. Like, we have some other points here. Why Biden? What will and won't decide the election? And regarding Biden in Pennsylvania, natural gas and energy policy will come into play. The abortion issue that was a huge loser for Republicans in the 2022 midterms. But given the Supreme Court ruling, the matter is up to states. Trump can lessen the issue more by staying away, or better yet, by pushing back against more extreme measures. Again, you know, Trump's out there saying that it should be decided on the state level. I'm trying to leave it at that. Biden is campaigning on the need to protect democracy. Other than abortion, he has little else. The polls show he is not even a winning issue for him, okay? His extreme woke policies, flouting the Supreme Court, the energy mandates, they've all cost him on this issue. So, yeah, no, that's, you know, the last of what they had to say on that. Yeah. We're hearing Blackstone makes $10 billion bet on multifamily units as real rents begin reaccelerating. The Fed is required, they're saying, actually, to keep inflation back down to at least their figures, you know, 3%, no higher. And so there's no way they're going to get their rate cuts by what, midsummer, June, July, whatever.
They reckon that they're saying that inflation's at 3%.
That they would have to bring it down to 3% required by law, they're saying, technically. And that's why they won't be able to get their cuts by June that a lot of people are hoping for, you know.
The interest rate cuts?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Well, I think the CPI doesn't even include energy and rents and things like that in the, you know, in the index.
It's
a complete joke, you know. It's the same over here. You hear, Inflation is at 7.5%. We need to get it. We need to get it under control. We need to get it down to 4%. 7.5%. You know, how much has rents gone up for people in the last sort of 4 years? Have you been to the supermarkets? I mean, give it a rest. This kind of nonsense. And like I said, there's always a lag in inflation anyway. But you're starting to see that movement. It's not a small movement because you say less than 6 months ago, gold was I think about $1,800. So it's gone up $500 in 6 months. You know, it just went through, 2,100, 2,200, 2,300. It's now in at 2,340, I believe. Which is a reflection, a real reflection of, you know, the purchasing power of your money, you know.
And as far as the, well, actual effect on the voting population, I mean, well, basically, there is less and less of a middle class already, you know, and people are getting gaslit about just the rise of grocery, you know, not just fuel, you know, very much food and other items in general. I mean, right now there's a strong trend in the U.S. where the contents of anything is only 2/3 what it used to be, and it's staying at the same price. You know, they're doing that with everything.
Shrinkflation.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. They you know, you notice that too. You know, it's like if you buy, you know, kitchen roll and stuff like that, they're smaller packets. If you buy a packet of crisps, or you guys in America, I think, call them chips. I actually think we're unique here in the UK where we call them crisps. When you go to Europe, they call them chips as well. But, you know, we call chips like fish and chips. It's like, you know, like you guys call fries.
Right.
So anyway, you know, you buy a bag of crisps, it's like, 50, you know, 20 pence more for a bag of crisps, and there's less in it. There's about, you know, it's like two-thirds of, you know, a third less than what was in it before.
But right now, everyone's being told the economy is fine. You know, it must be you out there. You must be the problem because everyone else, they're not ignoring the increase in prices for groceries and other items.
Well,
actually, I feel like it's not happening. And
more gaslighting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, of course, they've had to change the definition of inflation over the years. Anyway, it used to be understood that inflation was the increase of the money supply. In other words, printing up money. So then realizing that this is not a good thing, they said, well, we better change this. So they changed the definition of inflation to, you know, price rises, whereas price rises are actually a symptom of inflation. They'll come a little bit later after all the money's flushing around. But then they can redefine what causes the price increases. They can blame, you know, greedy capitalists and businessmen, and they can blame, you know, Vladimir Putin. You know, pretty much everything, you know, when you think about it, you know, they can, if things go badly wrong, they've got three things. Well, in the UK, we've got a third one. In the US, it's Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. In the UK, it's Donald Trump. Well, not so much Donald Trump. It's Vladimir Putin and Brexit.
Right.
You know, you hear people arguing about inflation as a result of Brexit over here. As if COVID didn't happen, as if all the money printing, as if all the billions that were wasted and printed up after COVID, as if all the money that was sent to Ukraine was just irrelevant. But, you know, they have to then say the price rises, that's inflation, rather than a symptom of inflation. So then they can come up with all manner of reasons and excuses and point the finger at their enemies as to who's responsible for inflation. You know, like I said, Donald Trump, Brexit, and Vladimir Putin tend to get the blame for a lot of stuff, you know.
Indeed.
And then, of course, Richard, and then, of course, if there's a wider war in the Middle East, then the oil prices are going to shoot through the roof, you know?
Yes, yes, yes.
And petrol's going to be, yeah, and then to fill up your car, gas, as you guys call it, or petrol over here, we call it, you know, that's all going to be through the roof again. So
I have one I could share here for, you know, your interest later. Maybe we could talk about it next week or something, but it's showing Well, it's mapping average wages across Europe. And it also has like an actual, you know, map, a quick read, and you know, maybe get your feedback on it later, so I could share that in the group.
It doesn't keep pace with inflation, I'll tell you that much.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, wages ever since the 80s really have been getting more and more stagnant, but they were already, the trend started then, you know, of not keeping up with the inflation, the cost of living.
Yeah.
It's interesting how they're trying to have Palestinian support seem like an exception to the rule, waving the finger. UCLA med school forces students to attend Hamas supporters' lecture on housing injustice. So, oh no, it was a Hamas supporter. This is the important thing here. That we, you know, why we have to shame. As far as the economic situation, especially for the younger, you know, I mean, like Generation Zoomer, Z, trapped in a virtual cage. And this is like in every way, physically, socially, emotionally, just conditioned by, you know, yeah, there'll be a changing trends. These, of course, the smartphones and the big tech have a lot to do with it. So yeah, it'll not be very hard to get them to accept the you know, digital currencies, social credit scores.
Yeah, of course. I mean,
yeah, they grew up so already immersed in all of this stuff. Is even though you hear some positive things about the Zoomers and pushing back,
Zoomers.
Yeah, because they're so high tech, big tech friendly, or something. You know, was part of it. And, yeah, you know,
what age group is Generation Z exactly? Do you know what's the?
Well, I mean, if they're like 19 years old now, I think they would be in Zoomer.
Oh, I have a son that age; he's 20.
Okay, yeah, and then like in between us and them would be the millennials, you know.
Yeah,
but
it gets worse every generation. Well. In one sense, it does, and it's hard to know, because in one sense you've got the usual sort of people who are taken along and brainwashed, you know, and march step to everything that's, you know, put in front of them, and then you've got other people who are going the opposite direction, who have been exposed to the internet and shows like this and some real information, and they're a little bit more, you know, sagacious and discerning, you know.
Indeed. Here's a good one for all those pro Second Amendment listeners out there. Ever since Sheriff Bob Johnson of Santa Rosa County said that gun owners should shoot home invaders dead to save taxpayer money to prevent them from reoffending, they haven't had any home invasions in over a year.
Well. There's one way to prevent, you know, to make sure you don't get shot by invading someone's home, Richard, you know? That's right. Don't invade their home.
Indeed. Oh, yeah, you know, you'll hear like the mothers of these, you know, repeat offender store robbery perps when they get caught, you know, shot. Oh, you know, complaining that the store owner had a gun. And it's just so ridiculous.
Yeah, because they don't believe in law and order. That's the problem. And the irony is, in fact, there's a lot of reports. I've noticed this sort of phenomenon in New York where women are getting punched in the face by black guys quite regularly. But they very rarely ever say they've been punched in the face by a black guy. They just say they got punched in the face. But then when you find out who it is, it's some black fella.
Oh, yeah.
But these are... And again... As you know, I mean, I've got nothing against black people. I take no pleasure in that. But it's just, you know, particularly young black youths, they tend to commit the vast majority of sort of antisocial behavior and crimes, the same in London. But they don't like to point that out, because I guess they'd rather get punched in the face and then, you know, violate their own internal religion and ideology that all humanity is the same, and white people are all the same as black people, and everybody's just the same, and we're all just one, you know, humanity. And well, if anything, Richard, you know, white people are more nefarious. You know, they killed all those Jews, and they went around and stealing people's land. So, you know, if anything, the whites here are not to be trusted, you know.
Indeed, though, that is the you know, that is largely the narrative. And I do expect there to be, well, coming engineered scarcity with food. Certainly here, we've had so many food plants getting attacked and everything. Now, Cal Maine Foods shuts down Texas facility due to bird flu outbreak. Egg prices expected to soar. Well, egg prices have already been soaring. And again, you know, I mean, UN saying in the name of climate change, we're getting rid of white people, you know, could be a good thing. Just desensitizing us to, but yeah, these double standards for quite a while. You know, it's amazing how this generation's getting used to tolerating it to a large degree. And a lot of people buy into the critical race theory. You know, you have these young, like white college girls who buy into the critical race theory. You know, white people can never be, you know, inconvenienced enough to make up for all of colonialism that they never mention the tribe. And it's, you know, it's just staggering.
I was listening to Richard, a little bit of Ricky Gervais, and he's, you know, he's largely a kind of a liberal in many ways, but he's reacting now to, you know, how this has all gone so far. And, you know, he's a normal, pretty normal guy, and he does a lot of jokes. He's actually pretty, I mean, he does not hold back about jokes, including about the Holocaust, Hitler, everything. But I was listening to him talk, he was talking about critical race theory, and he said, in case you don't know what critical race theory is, it's basically that whites are, you know, they're born racist, and they're hopelessly racist, and there's nothing you can do about it. That's the other thing. He said it's incurable, which is a relief, he said. critical race theory. Who thought up that idea, Richard? Where did that come from?
Right. Well, to suggest such would be hate speech. We better not volunteer our thoughts on that one.
And yeah, the other thing I'm sick of hearing is this whole. Yeah, I don't know how many times it comes up. Oh well, Israel's behaving now like, you know, they're behaving like Nazis. You know, as I was listening to earlier, someone talking about, I don't know, there's all, you know, it's always this Nazi thing going on with, they just never shut up about Nazis all the time. Larry Johnson's another one, constantly going on about Nazis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Any references to Nazis or Hitler or Goebbels, possible. As long as you're just making a reference when talking about something else, it's assumed you're backing up the official narrative, and that's really what is solidified in people's minds. And
some of these guys have gone too far, in my opinion, with the pro-Russian stuff. You know, it's just all okay. When you're talking about the Nazis, can you balance it out a little bit? Can we talk about the Bolsheviks and who were the Bolsheviks? Are we allowed to talk about that at all? You know?
Yeah. No. Absolutely. It's completely, and that's why a lot of people, you know, had mixed feelings about the Putin Tucker interview. But
yeah, I mean, I'm not even talking about modern Russia necessarily. I mean, again, I don't think Putin's perfect, but yeah, you know, they never. It's like they talk about the Soviet Union as if it's a good thing sometimes, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and Stalin, even. And, well, we will take calls in the final segment for Mr. Paul Edward Stevenson. Folks, if you have something for the gentleman's perspective, please call. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey and Paul Edward Stevenson. And, well, if I were to just touch more for a moment on the gaslighting of the public regarding our economy, we're hearing since 2019, grocery prices are up 40%. 10-year inflation-adjusted yield peaks. Inflation is still going to shock a lot of people in upcoming months, next year or two, as things set in a little more fully and consistently compared to what people may have expected. But no, I'm also not trying to detract from the other topics we had on the floor here. And well, I don't know. Some people are wondering why so much talk even about this eclipse. Trump made a lot of interesting comments. Some are saying Trump is skilled at keeping the media talking about him by trolling them. He successfully trolled Time magazine, allegedly, with memes in both recent solar eclipses, for that matter. Trump posts bizarre solar eclipse campaign ad, his head blocking out the sun. Trump's anti-Obama eclipse doesn't make sense. They flash back to as well. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say this whole Israel thing has, you know, it's caused a split in the, in quotes, right. You know, people like Ben Shapiro and Candace Owens, where it's like, oh, wait a minute here, you know. It's like we're American firsters, and people are starting to question, and it's the same here, you know, this obsession with Israel. You know, of course, you hear these Israeli apologists coming on saying, oh, you know, our fight is your fight, and, you know, we're all in this together, you know. Not really. Sorry. Not really. But, and more people are becoming aware of that. And of course, you know, Trump is Mr. Big America First, and a lot of his supporters, I think, are increasingly cognizant of this very one-sided parasitic relationship with Israel and are becoming genuinely America First, which has no place for Israel First. And Trump is essentially an Israeli firster. So it'll be interesting to see how he handles this situation. He said recently, in his usual nebulous, ambiguous fashion, that the, you know, the Israelis need to get this over with and get it over with quick. And, of course, that it's harming Israel's reputation on the world stage. A lot of these guys who make this argument, they never actually delve into, well, and rightly so, it's harming their reputation because of what they've actually, what they've done. And continue to do. But I wonder how Trump will handle this. You know, people are going to, all these loyal American firsters, an increasing amount of them probably not as Israel supporters. They're going to be happy if they get Trump in there and he has this complete, continues this blind support of Israel. And, you know, has Jared Kushner back in his administration or something. You know, I mean, that's going to be very interesting to see how Trump handles that in light of recent developments over there in Israel and Palestine.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, even in his first term, no one at the border listened to him either on that issue. Some people feel as long as he helps the economy, that's enough to make them happy. I suppose there are still some out there maybe who are willing to settle to that extent. But at the same time, I mean, you know, otherwise you're asking for something worse. You're not going to get anything. It's less anti-white than Trump. That's the best way to put it, really, at the moment.
Yeah, the cleanest dirty shirt in the hamper.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But then we've had relentless spending, fiscal irresponsibility, and it's all pushing us toward financial disaster. You know, certainly under the Biden administration, that's been exacerbated more than ever. On the international stage, just a couple more quick ones here. More Cold War era treaties collapse as Turkey suspends EU arms limitation deal. And more talk about Iran. Iran offers no response to Damascus strike if U.S. secures Gaza ceasefire. And in some of the reports they have out there, Iran informed the U.S. it would refrain from responding to the airstrike in which senior Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps commanders were killed in Damascus if a ceasefire in Gaza is reached. Judea, Iran reported on Sunday. So, you know, that news outlet. And like over here in California, you know, I heard the Fed is just directly helping them out due to their reckless spending. And then the entirety of the American people get stuck with the bill. So, you know, it just kind of shows just, well, and who are the money men, you know? So when you look at these extreme far-left policies, places like Sweden and California are pushing that eventually trend everywhere. Yeah, you can connect the dots, and it's not exaggeration or hyperbole to say who's behind them the way that you and I do, Paul. Gavin Newsom in California, the governor, he's facing a reckoning with a $73 billion budget, nonetheless, just even though some, well, I mean, a lot of it was really what he helped to create. And but again, you know, I did hear in this other article how the Fed is actually directly helping out California. And Big Pharma, Rigged Medicine News reports by nearly 60% at current rate of U.S. doctors received payments totaling over $12 billion from Big Pharma. And that's, what, a 10-year span, 2013 to 22, Paul. So there, I guess that's all I got. Your thoughts before we hit the phones here.
Yeah, nothing, I don't know. You get numb to a lot of this stuff, don't you?
You really do. Yeah, you really do. And so many of these agendas. Well, here, first let's jump to Tom in Florida. Tom, good evening, sir. Welcome. What's on your mind? We have Tom. Tom in Florida.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah,
good evening,
yeah,
everybody.
There you are. Yeah, you broke through the gateway now, Tom. Good evening. What's on your mind, sir?
All right, good evening, you guys. What's on my mind is what Paul was saying about these black males going around New York punching white women in the face. Well, don't forget what this illegal alien did in Georgia to Lakeland Riley. The autopsy report is her brain was pushed back in her head and her jawbone, her teeth were actually pushed back up into her nose area of the facial, of the frontal lobe. I mean, what this illegal alien did to that beautiful girl, that guy, he should be tortured for what he did to her. Not only all these illegal aliens, and then you got these black animals going around beating up, smacking white women in the face before they used to do the knockout game over there. You remember that, Richard, the knockout game? They were knocking out elderly white men.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine if that was reversed? If it was white men punching black women in their face, we'd be rioting all over the place. There'd
it
be
would
rioting
never even
going
happen,
on.
Though. Right.
If a bunch of white guys went around punching black women in the face, what do you think would happen, Richard, in the country? In the media.
Oh, yeah.
How would the media cover that?
Oh, yeah. They'd be calling for white genocide. But you'd never even have that happen. You know, I mean, it's both
I know that, Richard,
nature and nurture would not allow for it.
The Zionists would
neither
try to
nature
get us to
nor
do a
nurture
race
would
war.
Allow for it.
Okay. Paul, here's what I want to call your show, Richard. Here's what I called about. Earlier today, I called Professor Fesser's show, Jim Fesser, and this guy made a great call. I think it was HD or something. And he made a great call and a great point. You need to hear this, Paul and Richard. These illegal aliens are coming here taking away jobs that Americans supposedly won't do. So now they're going in the construction trade doing building houses. Building houses for who? For more illegal aliens to come in here? They're not building houses for white people, because the white people already got their house. So when these illegal aliens come do the trade, they're not helping white America. They're not helping black America. They're building houses for more Hispanics to come here to have kids. The black people should be doing those jobs, or the white Americans should be doing plumbing. Those are great trades. Plumbing, electrical, all those jobs, roofing, those all pay big money, Richard. And you're going to bring a whole army of illegal aliens to come and take those jobs
vicious,
so they can build houses
a vicious
for more
circle.
Illegal aliens?
A vicious circle it adds to, right?
It is. It's a very vicious circle that's got to be stopped. And Donald Trump's already said it today. I'm going to deport if it takes me 18 million illegals. They're all getting the hell out of here. No more monuments are going to be taken down. You're going to do a whole 10-year sentence in jail. That should have been, for the day he took office, he should have said that. You tear down one monument of Robert E. Lee or Teddy Roosevelt or anything, you're going to do 10 years of hard labor in the prison system. And what, one day are you going to get released early? He's saying that today. So let's see what happens, Richard. Donald Trump is saying a lot of things that no other candidate would ever say. You understand?
Right. Yeah, well, that's the problem. Trump says a lot of things. You know.
Well, I understand that. I would like to see maybe even a tougher candidate, like a general that's in the military, take over the presidency. However, I don't think that's
feasible now. Did that wall ever get built?
Well, you got to remember, there's $100 million in steel sitting in the desert that they would. Joe Biden would he sold it off for pennies on the dollar. So you can't blame Trump for that. Trump tried to build some of the wall. Trump did have the Remain in Mexico, okay? This Biden is a communist. Look, Richard, you haven't, not once have I heard you talk about the movie Civil War. Have you talked about that movie yet? Richard?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay, well, let me explain to you something. This movie, the actress in that movie is the same broad that was in Spider-Man. Kristen Dunst, like a dunce. Well, she plays the part of a white woman. And you remember 2.5 years ago, Paul, that Joe Biden told the mega crowd that if you even try to do an insurrection against our government, we're going to use the Air Force of the United States against you?
It's on tape.
Joe Biden said he was going to use the United States Air Force against white majority population if that ever came to that. But in the meantime, he would defend the illegal aliens. And in the movie, Civil War, you know what they show, Richard? They showed it looks like a Raptor 22. You ever heard of a Raptor 22, Richard? The Raptors? Like the dinosaur?
Yeah, of course.
Richard?
Yes. Yeah, I'm familiar with it.
Have you ever saw what that airplane can do? That one plane can do? You see the destruction that one plane can do?
Okay, yeah, no,
I can believe it.
Well, here, good points as always. Look, I want to get to the other calls equally. I'll try to get a little better at that, but I always look forward to your calls. Thank you. Thank you, Tom. Let's go to JR in Georgia. JR, hey, welcome. Hey, good evening, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, after that previous call, I don't know how much I can do. Real quickly, I'm so confused. Listen, there's a lot of issues that this country faces. And one of the biggest issues I'm going to bring to your attention is the cost of real estate in this country and the loss of what we used to call the first-time home buyers. Beginner houses, as we used to call them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This economy has been ruined by the fact that there is no longer anyone building a house that's less than maybe $200,000 a year. I speak of this in regards to the rising cost in rent, the rising cost in real estate, and this is one of the things that's being
and the stagnant wages, sir. Yeah, it's just unsustainable. Go ahead.
Right. Sir. I mean, I have a daughter and a son. I mean, it's going to be almost impossible for them to purchase a house. As what I did in the 1980s, early 90s. I mean, I bought my first home for less than $70,000 a year. You cannot get a freaking single-wide trailer for less than $70,000 a year. That's how devastating this economy has become. These young kids, right now, as we live to this day, are put behind a brick wall of achieving any lifestyle that we have lived in our lives. And no one's discussing it. No one's talking about it. No one's even bringing up the discussion of this. I mean, it's absolutely atrocious is what's going on with the American dollar and the ability to have a reasonable life. And no one's talking about it. And we wonder why we have so many homeless. Day in, day out. I don't know. I'd like your gentleman's opinion. Am I wrong and seeing this for what it is, it's just absolutely absurd that where we've moved to in this country, that no one can afford housing.
Well, it's exactly the same over here and probably worse, particularly down in London, the southeast of England. You know, it's a complete hyper bubble in the property market. And of course, the biggest victims of this are the next generation coming through. So, you know, when Boris Johnson was prime minister, his solution to this was that, you can take out a mortgage for more years. In other words, you know, where, like you said, people in the 80s could buy a property and they actually, if they worked hard, they could probably pay it off in like 8 to 10 years. You know, now rather than getting a 25-year mortgage, Boris Johnson's solution for this was to, I think, lower interest rates a little bit for first-time buyers and extend their, you know, the mortgage period to something like 40 years. So in other words, you know, you buy a house when you're 30, you know, you'll have it paid off when you're 70, you know. So then you have the phenomenon now over here where you have people who would normally leave home, you know, in their early 20s, get married, start their family, buy a house. Obviously, they can't afford to do it. So what they do is, and of course, you have to, you know, put a hefty deposit down, because if you're buying a property, for an average property down here in London and southeast, I think it's £350,000 or something like that. In England, probably, because it's cheaper up north, the average comes down a bit to maybe like £235,000 for like probably a one-bedroom apartment or something. You would have to put a, you know, stay at home, live at home with your parents until you're 30, so you can save the deposit. And of course, so you had one generation who made a lot of money on buying property at, you know, in the early 90s and stuff like that, and then saw those properties, you know, explode in price and made a lot of money. But then their children and their grandchildren have essentially a very dubious future. And all sorts of challenges that no one had since the Second World War, you know?
They are.
But would you say this is, for lack of a better term, this is unsustainable? It cannot go on like this. There is
is unsustainable. The problem is, in this country, the property market, you know, we don't really manufacture anything over here. I mean, you guys still do to a certain extent, not to the extent that you did. But, you know, if the property market collapsed here, the whole economy would collapse, because that's where so much of the money comes from. People being able to have this extra money from properties that they bought and made a lot of money on it. And then, of course, it frees up capital. They can borrow more money because they're homeowners and they've got a lot of equity in their homes. They maybe, you know, have paid off a house that they bought for $100,000. They paid that house off in 1997. That same house now is worth $500,000. That's not an exaggeration. And a lot of these people, it's very difficult to stomach, because I've met these people who came over here. I've met Irish people like this, actually. Green Jews, I call them. You know, every waking hour is spent thinking about money, you know. It's like there are a lot of Irish immigrants like that. And they chop up their house, you know, into like, you know, seven different little tiny apartments, and they charge £600-700 a month for these places. You know, so they're pulling in maybe £3,000-4,000 a month on a house that they bought and paid for 20 years ago, that they bought for maybe £180,000 or £100,000. So some people got very lucky, and some people unlucky.
Yeah, we see some similar things even down here in my part of Florida, with a lot of properties. And yeah, Green Jews is a good one. Well, thank you, JR. Please call again, sir. I should have jumped sooner to Joe in Florida. Joe, what's on your mind?
Hey, Richard. Hey, Paul. Yeah, well, not much time, but hey, you know, I want to say this. I think, you know, I'm a man of hope, right? But I have to diagnose the problem. So this week, in my opinion, is the pivotal week in deciding whether we're actually going to go right into World War III. Now, you know, the Iranian attack, really totally outrageous, completely illegal, attack by the satanic Israeli state on Syria and at the embassy of a third country, right? Now, this is obviously has to be retaliated. But one of the things is that the Iranian government, right, they are waiting for the end of Ramadan. They won't do an attack or retaliation while Ramadan is continuing. And guess when Ramadan ends? Tomorrow. And then you've heard about the red heifers, right? Red heifers, the satanic Jewish psychopaths who believe in that religion, an evil religion.
Sacrifice.
Right? They are going to sacrifice these cows because they think that's going to help them bring in the Antichrist. And what day are they going to do that on? A Wednesday, April 10th. So it's looking pretty bleak, but I am a big believer in the prayer can stop war. I think people need to start praying for an end to this war. What do you think?
Paul? Well, I mean, prayer is obviously a powerful thing. You know, the scriptures say, wasn't the prayers of a few righteous men availeth much. But
amen.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, exactly. We'll see, though, because I have a bad feeling about it. I mean, I used to think, okay, don't get too sensational. But when you look at this decade already with COVID and then this war on Ukraine and these people, they don't seem to have any humility where they can admit defeat. So they're either unwilling or incapable of acknowledging the reality, for example, of losing to Russia. And that's what worries me. Well, it's just like, well, what are you going to do? I mean, they talk about Vladimir Putin and, you know, nuclear weapons. Well, he's winning the war. I mean, these people, you know, the Ukrainians tried to blow up that Zaporizhia power plant. They're not worried about nuclear fallout. So they're not going to be worried about sending a nuke into Russia either. And it really does concern me. I think we're living in a very precarious time. It used to be people were very circumspect when we get to these sorts of stages and breakdowns of diplomacy and stuff like that, but now it just seems nobody seems to be caring about anything. We've had, you know, so we've had all this COVID stuff. It just, what's next? You know, I just think, you know, what's next in store? Honestly, they're frightening times. They really are. These people are capable of anything.
Yeah. And it's always a bleak picture when you're ruled by Jewish tyranny. And the world is ruled more and more by Jewish tyranny. We can see it on both sides. But I will say, because I promise, I'm a man of hope, I like what you said before, Paul, about even, so to what I think is the dynamic has changed, okay? The alignment in America, you know, Democrat, Republican, it's all gone. And even what you were talking about, I saw a story in the New York Times the other day saying, well, the anti-war people in the Republican Party are getting stronger. I mean, you know, okay, I'm under no delusion about the Republican Party is going to solve anything. But just the fact that you were, like you said, America first people, even 5 years ago in America, it was like, oh, if you said America first, you were a Nazi and, you know, somehow you were controlled. So I do think that it's already shifted. And that means whoever's president, whatever happens, that conversation can happen. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, thank you.
Amen. Joe. I apologize. I apologize for the caller I didn't get to today. We'll try to manage time for you gentlemen. Great calls. Better next time. Paul, great show as always. Speak soon, buddy.
Thank you, Richard.
Please support RBN, folks, so that we will speak again soon. And until then, transcend the construct.
Regards.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Yeah. Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.